podcast after an elongated break over the summer. We're talking to you for the first time this season after a sticky start to the season. We've had one win so far, and we might have had another win at the weekend over Curry, but it's the old Birmingham tale. We shot ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, I think it has been a very similar start to the season as much of last season. In most of the games we've played, we've got ourselves into good positions at times, and only on one occasion have we been able to capitalise on that and go on and win the game. We're not playing bad rugby. We're having periods of bad rugby.
Yeah, I mean, I think possibly the Dundee one you can chalk down to circumstance.
Yes, I think you can. When you end up with five or six front row players on the field at the same time, when you end up with a prop making his debut at blindside flanker, a hooker at openside flanker and a prop at hooker, then yeah, there is a genuine reason why we were turned over in the second half.
Yeah, and we did well to hang on till half time ahead, but you know that why Dundee have done well is because they have a very experienced coach, a very good coach who obviously changed the game plan.
Well, I think he certainly did. I mean, at half time, Muir were ahead, 10-0 up, and although not looking by any means as though, you know, we were going to sort of press home an advantage, at the same time we weren't looking like conceding a lot of points. Dundee changed the game plan radically in the second half. They played it fast and loose and ran our pack off the pitch. When you're playing without a breakdown unit, you're playing without a back row, and Andy Rose spent 10 minutes in the bin, so yeah. for a long period of time we had no back row on the pitch at all. Then the thing is that you don't want the breakdown, you don't want the rocks, because Dundee were first all the time, and understandably so, and that won them the game.
And coming onto this week's game against Curry, I think for long periods when it was 15 against 15, Birmingham actually had the better of the game. You know, when we could get the back row to the breakdown, we slowed down Curry's ball, we won fast ball ourselves, and we could move it wide in attack, and we had good performances from both Damien Hoyland and Seth Visser on the wing. It was just we gave away far too many penalties, and that resulted in two players going into the bin.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that Curry also had two players in the bin, but dealt with it better, and if you look at when those sin binnings occurred, I mean, first of all, I mean, we had a player in the bin before 5 minutes had been played. There was a lot of, you know, shouting and moaning in the crowd. But quite frankly, we'd given away three penalties consecutively for the same offence. And each one was getting nearer to our line. The referee, you know, took a decision that's unacceptable. Yeah, I didn't like to see it happen, but I can see where he was coming from.
Absolutely. I think the frustration comes is when Curry did pretty much exactly the same thing, three similar offences in their own half, he then spoke to their captain.
Yeah, I think that it's difficult being a referee to be consistent like that all the time.
Yeah.
But I think he was trying to stamp his authority early on, and, you know, that led to the fact that we were 12-0 down before we really got started.
Yeah, I think the fact to note is that while we had 14 men, we conceded four tries.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, to me, that is the absolute difference in the game.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right there, Simon. As I say, we were 12-0 down before we started. We got back into a tremendous position. We got 15-12 ahead. Some really good work, and I think it's only fair, as everyone else has, to mention the work done by Jamie Swanson. I mean, he had
his best game in a Birmingham shirt for me by far.
He had an absolute stormer, and he was directly taking on Ross Weston, who's been
probably the landmark number eight for the last 5 years.
Certainly since Ben Fisher retired, he's been the landmark number eight. So he took him on and beat him. He also ran over Gregor Hunter a couple of times. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to see the professionals beaten like that. But, you know, having got back into the game at 15-12, we then suffered another sin binning. Again, a lot of people, it was an injustice. I'm not going to call it either way. But whatever, whether it was an injustice or not, we ended up with 14 men. We looked like going into half-time ahead. We went into half-time 9 points down.
Yeah, and although we then fought in the second half, and you know, in the end we only lost by 5 points, it was, I think, that crucial scoreboard and psychological blow of having fought back into the game and then losing it all again.
And we ended up in the second half doing what we had to do, which was play catch-up. We never quite caught up, but we were always having to play a game dictated by the scoreboard.
Yeah.
We were playing catch-up. We did a damn good job of playing catch-up. We got, I think it was within 2 points, then Curry got away again. Then at the end we got within 5 points, and we had an opportunity late on.
You know, it's just that real pressure situations, our execution does let us down, and I think that's really something that comes out of the sheer level of inexperience we have inside. We don't have that many players who know how to win.
Well, I think that's very true, but I mean, just going back to the point a moment ago, you could look at it a different way, and you could say that every time we got close, Curry just put the foot on the gas and pulled away again.
You could.
You know, so it's easy to sort of feel hard done by, but I think at the end of the day, Curry's game management was significantly better, which leads into the point that you're making about the inexperience.
Yeah, I think, you know, we do have an incredible amount of young talent in the side. There's players like Damien Hoyland, Keith Buchan, Mark Kerr, you know, and all the guys in the forwards as well. You know, it's been great over the first few weeks, although he wasn't playing on Saturday, to see Robbie Wilson really stepping up.
Mm-hmm.
Place. I mean, Alex Henderson is one
we've been following him now for 12 months, and he's a really impressive
player. You know, James Swanson's still a young player. There's a lot of young talent in there. It's just they're not used to winning. They don't know how to do it.
Well, I think that's possibly the key point. Because we've had a couple of seasons where we've struggled, then the young players are coming into a struggling side rather than into a winning side, and they, as you say, they're not used to winning. So those really close moments when just, you know, a couple of percentage points can make the difference between winning and losing, it's not quite there yet.
I mean, looking realistically at our season, it's going to be, the focus is going to be a battle to stay in the top division.
That has to be the absolute prime consideration. And I'm sure it is.
So, come the end of the season, we might look back on this game as actually a very good one, because we scored 2 bonus points for tries and staying within 7 points.
And every bonus point could be absolutely critical.
You know, it's going to be a situation with just a 10-team league, so you've only got 18 games, so there's not going to be that many points in it come the end.
Yeah. I agree.
So this could be one that we do look back on fondly. But I mean, looking at the teams around us, who do you expect to be in that battle to stay in the division?
Well, I've been surprised over the last couple of weeks to see Heriot's put in 2 apparently very good performances and beat Melrose and Dundee, and that's leapfrogged them up the league at this point of the season. Aberdeen are struggling and look like a team who will struggle. I'm sure they'll win games, but they look like a team who will struggle. The same is true of Aki's. You would have to say at the moment the same is true of Boroughmuir. Other than that, there is no obvious candidate to be sucked into the fight. It doesn't mean that other teams can't drop, because as you say, it's a small league, it's a relatively few number of games. You lose a couple of games and you can drop quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose when it's a league where probably 5 to 6 wins is going to keep you
I think you're a little bit more confident than me on that.
I think 5-6 wins, and you'd be unlucky to certainly finish bottom.
Yes.
You know,
But don't forget, the ninth place team will be in a playoff.
Absolutely.
With the second place team in the National League.
You know, a number of teams can quickly get a bit of momentum to get towards that.
Oh yeah, very much
so. I'm expecting over the next few weeks a sort of a real pack at the bottom to emerge.
Yes,
that's where I was going with that.
I think you're right. I hope we're not in it. The way things look at the moment, we may be. But you know, we've got to do what we are doing and scrap for everything, because it's an old cliche to say too good to go down, and there's no way we can say that.
Absolutely.
And it seems a strange thing to be saying after four games in the season to be talking about relegation.
But that means there's only 14 games left in the season.
But there's only 14 games left. That is the reality of where we are, and we need to put some wins together.
Absolutely. Well, after the game on Saturday, I spoke to Bournemouth's coach David Officer, captain Andy Rose, and to former Bournemouth youth winger and current Curry winger Dougie Fife.
David, that was a fractious game with a lot of decisions from the referee, but it must be disappointing to fall just short in the end.
Yeah, I mean, we were our own worst enemies in the first half. We didn't have enough set piece. We struggled to win any line out, and the scrum was a bit scrappy. All credit to Jamie Swanson. He carried a little ball in the first half and gave us a bit of go forward. We turned at half time confident we were still in the game and able to turn around and get a victory. In the second half, just too many mistakes on both sides, but some of ours just killed us, unfortunately.
I suppose as a coach it must be at least pleasing that when we do get quick ball we are able to really hurt teams.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the whole way you set our game plan about is getting over the game line, getting good go forward ball, and then try and get the ball to the outside channels as much as we can. And unfortunately today we didn't get enough quick ball off first phase because we struggled in the line out and scrum.
And a tough one down at Gala next week.
They're all tough in this league. They're all tough. Cheers.
Excellent. Cheers. Andy, in the end, losing that game by 5.6 must be a tough one to take.
So it's a tough one. Especially so close. You know, we had a lot last season. You know, it came down to the wire, and unfortunately we just couldn't get that last turnover.
Yeah. I mean, in the end, we were our own worst enemies with committing too many penalties and silly mistakes.
Yeah, listen, it's one of our weaknesses. We need to get our discipline sorted. Hopefully we work on it, or we will work on it this week and get firing for Gala. Yeah.
When we did have 15 men on the pitch, we seemed able to get good quick ball and really hurt them in the backs, though, so that must at least be an encouraging sign for you.
Oh, definitely. You know, there's a lot of positives, a lot of stuff to take away with it. We use Andy Muir's system that we use, and everyone has a look at the game, and we can come back with constructive criticism on the next week and fire on for Gala.
Excellent. Cheers very much.
Cheers, no worry.
Dougie, that was a good 5 points for Curry.
Yeah, you know, it started the game well. It's always tough, Curry, to be honest. We're a very good team. I think it's mates like Sepp and Harry from Edinburgh and stuff, so it's going to be hard. So 5 points. And we could have even lost at the end, so yeah.
And you got to try it yourself, you know, you seem to be playing well.
Yeah, well, it's just obviously training at Edinburgh and stuff this year has been helping me just feel sharper. I feel just feel all around quite good at the moment, so good to be on the pitch playing wing 15 last week.
And how do you think Curry's prospects are looking for the season ahead, you know?
Well, we were just saying there, we're still to have a full performance, and we're grinding out wins, so I feel if we start playing well, and you know, we're saying a good sign of a good team is if they can win without playing well, so hopefully if we start playing well, you know, could fight for the league.
Cheers very much.
Thank you.
Well, moving on to one side who has had an absolutely fantastic start to the season, they've claimed 4 5-point victories, is the second 15. They continued that on Saturday. They beat Curry 59-0.
Yeah, not a bad result at all. I mean, if you look at we over the past few years, Bournemouth have been gradually increasing the strength in depth. That came to a head, if you like, last year when the second 15 won their league. And again, without going mad over the summer and rushing out and signing dozens of players, again, more strength coming through the club and coming up the club from the junior teams and from the youth section, and it just really looks good for the second 15. They're top of the league, where they deserve to be, thoroughly deserve to be, and they're handing out a few beatings.
Yeah, I mean, we counted through before this podcast, and they've had 15 different try scorers in 4 games.
I mean, that's
which is an incredible stat.
That's really impressive, that. Not just that they are scoring a lot of tries, but that it's spread all over the team, forwards and backs. I mean, you know, a couple of people have scored 3 tries, but so many people have 1 or 2 tries.
Yeah.
And you've got a whole 15 in 4 games that have scored tries for the team. That's... Partly it shows that as a second 15, their personnel will change week on week as players move down from the first or up to the first and again exchange positions with the Bears. But it also shows the way they're being coached by Neil and Andy. You know, they must be playing a real team game.
Yeah, and it's also, you mentioned the coaches there. Obviously, David Office has stepped up to the first 15 at the end of last season. Andy Knight's come in, somebody who knows the club inside out. But there's still an adjustment period, one would expect. But things seem to have just clicked into gear brilliantly.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how much of an adjustment you can see it as for 5-point bonus point victories. You know, it doesn't sound like too much of an adjustment. But at the same time, it's not just the players who were doing it last year.
No.
There are new players to the club. I mean, there's young Jordan Edmonds scored 3 tries. Kieran Cooney has come in and he's played a few games in the twos and scored tries as well.
Certainly, although I've not seen him, the youngster Liam Black.
Liam Black's been getting absolutely rave reports. Recently up from the under-18s, he's another of the 15 try scorers, and he's getting some really, really good reports. He looks like one for the future. So, you know, and of course there's the old man back, Callum Cossiter. He's got a try as well.
Yep. And Rab Cairns, you know, stalwart of the club at that sort of level now.
Yeah.
I think it shows the strength and depth that actually Rab played for the Bears on Saturday, you know.
Well, that's right. And I mean, it's not as though you know, he's not doing the business in the twos, you know, and may well play for the ones this year, who knows, but, you know, it really is good that it's been spread around, lots of players getting experience, lots of players getting on the score sheet, and, you know, there's a long, long way to go, but it's a great start.
Yeah. The third 15 recorded their first win of the season on Saturday. They had played one game previously, I think they lost 36-12 to RHC, but against Murrayfield Wanderers second 15, they again had a hugely comfortable win. I think it was 56-7.
Yeah, I mean, the third 15 at this, or the Bears at this stage of the season, will often struggle because so many of their numbers are students, and they either are only just returning back to university from their homes, or perhaps not got themselves sorted out, a bit too busy enjoying
Freshers
Week and what have you, and maybe not as available for rugby as we would like. But I've no doubt that as the season progresses, that they will get stronger.
Yeah, and it's good as well. You know, I mean, there's a situation with the coaching where you know things possibly haven't settled in quite as they would have liked.
Yeah,
but the players, you know, if Saturday's anything to go by, are just going to go out and do their job anyway.
And I think that's the most important thing the players can, and as you say, obviously are doing, is just knuckle down, get in there and you know, win some rugby games. I think that lifts everyone at the club. I mean, on Saturday, both you and I, Simon, were, oh, disappointed, I think, let's be polite, he's very disappointed. But at the same time, learning the score from the other two games, it picks you up again.
It was a fantastic...
You know, because, you know, I sit there on a Saturday night as you do, and I'm working on the website and everything, and, you know, at least I'm able to get the second 15 match report and the photos from Chris Evans, and, you know, I can read that, I can enjoy that, I can celebrate that.
Yeah, I mean, it should be marked out that in the third 15 league, there is one team kind of running away with it. Kelso have got 4 wins out of 4. They've scored 283 points. So we might not be looking towards their visit for points when they do.
Perhaps it won't be the one we look forward to most. I mean, it quite often happens at this level that you get one team that is over and above the rest, that is effectively in the wrong league. I mean, that's Kelso's second team.
Yeah.
You know, and they're probably in the wrong league. But it may well be a fight amongst the rest.
A points difference of plus 263 after 4 games might lend weight to that argument.
You've got to say they've got one or two decent players in there.
Well, after this short musical break, we'll be discussing this weekend's trip to Gala.
Well, on Saturday we take the trip down to Netherdale to take on Gala. Not been a happy hunting ground the last year or two.
I like the Gala from back before they got relegated when we used to tank them every year.
Yeah, that was a much better time to visit Netherdale, but it's not been like that the last couple of years. Gala under George Graham have been a very powerful and a very good side. They've not had a bad start to their league campaign at all.
No, I mean, they've picked up 3 wins and a defeat. They narrowly beat Aberdeen up at Riverslaw at the weekend. I think they won 26-25.
Yeah, 1-point victory, very close. Aberdeen will be sorely disappointed they didn't get their first win. But Gala, by all accounts, reading the reports, Gala knew how to win.
Yeah, I mean, they picked up their first defeat of the season the week before, but that was against Ayr. It was at Netherdale, but it was against Ayr, who are the early pace setters of the league. Certainly it's far too early to say they're the class of the field, but they are the early pace setters and they look very, very strong.
That's right, and George Graham will no doubt have his team set up well. He's a good coach. He sets up his team well. He's got a lot of passion about himself, and his team play with a lot of passion. So it's going to be a tough match, but I don't know. I'm reasonably optimistic.
I think, you know, Bunmuir are always going to be a team who, if things go their way, if the conditions are right, if we play for 80 minutes, our heads are right, genuinely can beat any team in the league.
That's right, Simon. I mean, you know, from time to time, I think this season it is reasonable to expect we will pull off some good victories. I don't think we're just going to run through getting rolled over all the time or anything like that. I think there's the talent in the team to pull off, you know, what other people may think of, at least at first, as shock results.
Yeah, I mean, if we can get the ball outside to players like Damien Hoyland and Keith Buchan, really exciting young talent who really run hard, fast, and are capable of finishing, we do have that chance, and certainly Fergus and David are not the sort of coaches who are going to go into any game with any sort of attitude other than we've come here for the victory.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. We will go to Gala looking for at least 4 points. You know, that's the starting premise, is that we go there to win.
Yeah, I mean, we've picked up 7 points in 4 games now. Certainly, from a fan's point of view, we have to come away with something.
I think we do. I mean, if we won, we could easily jump up into the top half of the table, or very close, you know. So string a couple of victories together, and there's still plenty of time.
Momentum, you can suddenly spring well away from trouble and really make a difference to your season.
There's plenty of time, and I think, you know, it's a good ground, it's a good pitch, there are a decent set of supporters. What a great place to start on Saturday.
Absolutely, let's go and make their weekend miserable.
Let's do that.
We'll be back next weekend with a review of all that action. Until then, it's goodbye.
Cheerio.